Ciao Nina, we have Chianti Classico 2023. That is my last vintage of Chianti Classico and also the vintage that I'm super happy about.
Because
of how the result it's in the bottle, not for how the year went, but for the bottle.
And as I read in the recently, you got a huge award by a famous journalist of Walter Speller, who is working for Chances Robinson, which is a great honor, and you got a good result there for the tasting. Is it good for you?
Super good. I'm super happy and honored.
Yeah.
To get this recognition from Walter on Jensen's Robinson. Walter is a person that I have. It's really nice to talk with. Good exchange, and I'm really happy that the wine of Tregole has been appreciated.
I read in this interview that your statement 23 was fighting something you couldn't win.
Yeah, that's true.
What does it mean?
Nature. We cannot really win on nature, no? Nature, we work with nature, we depend on nature, but sometimes nature can be a strong wind that we have to work on the direction of, and that makes it like it takes a lot of energy for a result that we are not sure that we get. And it's a bit like, I don't want to say a fight, because I don't fight with nature, I work with nature. But 2023, I always say it's a vintage. I call it the vintage for psicologo, for the therapist. You need to have like really clear mind, really focused, because there were a lot of problems. So we fight a lot Peronospora, and that's been the big fight of the year.
Ciao, buongiorno. Das war gerade Sophie Conte vom Weingut Tregole aus der Nähe von Castellina in Chianti. Sie hat uns kurz von ihrem Chianti Classico 2023 erzählt, auf den sie sehr stolz sein kann. Denn 2023 war eine große Herausforderung und sie hat diese offenbar sehr gut gemeistert. Ich bin übrigens Nina und ich liebe Chianti Classico. Und hier bin ich wieder mit einer neuen Episode zu meinem Lieblingsthema. Denn mit diesem Podcast will ich dich mitnehmen in meine Chianti Classico-Welt und dich teilhaben lassen an Gesprächen mit Winzern, an meinen Eindrücken hier im Chianti und dir so viel wie möglich über Chianti Classico erzählen. Heute bin ich, wie du ja schon bemerkt hast, zu Gast auf Tregole. Das Weingut und der dazugehörige Agriturismo gehören Sophie und ihrer Mutter. Sophie ist dabei hauptsächlich für die Weine verantwortlich und Weingärten natürlich. Und ihre Mutter betreut die Gäste des Agriturismo. Buongiorno Sophie, thank you for spending your time for a new podcast show. We are sitting here in Tregole. Unfortunately, it's a little bit raining, so we are sitting inside in a wonderful stanza, in a wonderful room with a fantastic view to your garden, to the trees, wood around us. And so it's a perfect place to stay here. And then thank you very much that you invited me to do a podcast together on that magic place. When I think of Tregole, the following three key facts come to my mind. It's first of all, woman power. We later on will explain why woman power. And of course, Castellina, because you're situated close to the city of Castellina. But I also think on Rada in Chianti. Let's go on for later. And for me, it's always when I'm thinking on Tregole, it's going up, because coming from Castellina, the way
when you enter the dirty road, you're going just up. And so you are on a very high altitude here. I know that Tregole has a huge history. Let us have a little view back. What can you tell us about the history of Tregole?
So Tregole, we are like, I think we are like a really short piece in a huge puzzle, no? Because it's a place that has a story that starts, the name was given by Etruscans. So we're talking about like 400 years BC, no? And that's why the name of Tregole, it's pronunciated not in a Latin way, but the meaning is of a hill with three tiny valleys around. So tre for three and valleys for gole, no?
Oh.
And the house of Tregole has always been the main building, no? The farm has always been the center building of this hill that became slowly a hamlet. But at the beginning, there was a watching tower. And that watching tower was in the year 1000. And we are sure that there was someone staying here. We know the name. His name was Teodorico Ildebrando, and he was the guy in charge for the watching tower. So can you think how different was the life of a person on the year 1003, saying like 1003, compared to the one that we are having now? It's really different. So that's why I always feel like one, like a small piece on a huge puzzle. No? So the only thing that we can do, I always say, is try to preserve the place, keep it good, keep it alive, always renovate it to make it live, but not change it too much. And that's a bit a kind of respect that we have on the house. No? So the house in the last 1,000 years had plenty of different families living there and staying here. And agriculture has always been the main life of the house, for sure, as you can imagine. No? We are surrounded by forest hills and fields. So it's always been a house for grapes, olives, animals. There were cows, there were pigs. They were producing barrels for the wine. They were breathing trees for the corks. They used to have trees for fruits.
You mentioned renovating. You're keeping the house and renovating. I think on your chapel, you have a chapel here as well on Tregole, at Tregole. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course.
I know it's a very special project.
Yeah, it's so the chapel is from the year 1580. That's the year that you see also on the sign on the house, because we want to give value to the chapel. And the chapel was built in the 1580 by two architects that were following the school of Brunelleschi, 100 years after Brunelleschi and more. But the shape that they chose for the chapel was on the Duomo of Florence.
Wow.
On the cupola.
The idea of the, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And, but
I didn't know that.
The tiny, but now, so the project was to keep the shape of the cupola del Duomo, but made in a private chapel for a house, for a family, you know? So they did the project, and the family that was staying in the house invested in this project. They built the chapel, and they did two chapels. One it's in Tregole, one it's on the Provinciale, the road that goes from Florence to Lucca. It's not really lucky because in the middle of the Provinciale, so one road goes on one side of the chapel, the other one on the other side of the chapel. So it's in the middle of the traffic, but it's a bit bigger. And they both have this curious shape of a pagoda, no? Because they look a bit like pagodas because they have this double deck. And that they are pretty unique. In the house of Tregole, they were, the chapel has always been the place where the family that was living in the house could have every Christian ritual, no? So baptism, marriage, funeral, it's always been used by the people living in the house.
So speaking about before being independent in a concept of food, they are also independent
on the religion.
On the religion. So because when we imagine built 1580, so let me say 450 years old, almost away ago, the people have to be, there is nothing around. They had no cars. They had no, okay, let's go for a bottle of milk to Castellina. It's not possible. No. So they have really to be independent.
Yeah. So the hamlet has always been independent. So there was the farm. There is the chapel. There is a church down where the group of houses are. There is the cemetery of Tregole. There was a school in Tregole, so it was completely independent. And that's a bit how old hamlet were built, no? Because were the place where the farmers were staying, and they would live in a way that was not in everyday need to go in the main town, Castellina. So also the people living in the house built the house on that aim, no?
And since when is the family Conte, so your family, owner of that wonderful place?
So my parents arrived in Tregole in 1998. And they came to Tregole because they wanted to buy a house. So they didn't come to Tregole because they wanted to buy a house. Someone suggested them after plenty of other houses that they've seen to go to Tregole and see this place. And then they arrived here and they fell in love with the place. But they knew that the house was bigger than what they expected, because half was a ruin and half was a semi-livable house. And so in the end, they decided to change their life, stop their jobs, and then slowly invest in Tregole. It took them 10 years to bring the main building as you see it now, so totally renovated. And they always did as a job to keep the house alive, hospitality, you know. Hospitality has always been the main work of the house, with rooms, with food, with wine, but that was the life of the house. Until I arrived, more or less.
Because this is good that you mentioned it, because I know that you had you had an other profession. You haven't been an agronomist or a wine producer, because you mentioned your family came here not from a wine producing part. So what did you do before you did wine, before you started?
So I studied communication.
Ah.
And marketing.
It's not bad.
And then I slowly got interested in wine, doing a sommelier course. Then I start going abroad. I always got more deep into wine, until in the end I decided to do a master that was marketing and management for wineries. Mm-hmm. Then I start working for other wineries in the area, but more in the area of sales and marketing. And then the family had some changes in the year 14, and we had to choose what to do with the land. The land was on lease, and part of the wine was kept for the house, but mostly was sold, liquid. And so we had to choose a bit what to do. My mom had no idea. My brother is doing a completely different job, and I was already in the business. And so I was thinking around, what should I do? Should I go back to Tregole and open up a wine business? And I wasn't really sure. But everyone around told me, Sophie, it's a good place. Believe in the place. It's a place where you can do great things. You just have to believe on that, no? And some of those people that believed in me and in the place still work with me. Some other are good friends. Some other are colleagues. And I have to thank all of them, because now this year will be my 10th vintage. So
this is a very good moment to say chin chin and to taste
cheers
your wine. Cheers.
Salute.
Mm. Oh, it's very fresh now, fruity. Mm.
So it's a...
very nice.
We talk about vintage 23 as a bit of complicated vintage, no? Because we haven't had a lot of grape because of Peronospora. So in the end, the result was...
We have to say, not you only had Peronospora. I think all over Europe had Peronospora. So it was the problem of the year 23 and not yours only.
Yeah. And I wasn't really used to fight Peronospora. I have to say that in Tregole, we were used to fight Oidio. We were not really used to fight Peronospora. Peronospora was coming tiny bit and then dying really fast. We were not used to fight Peronospora on long time and on long distance. So for sure, my inexperience on fighting Peronospora did a part. And then the other, for sure, was a year where Peronospora was working a lot. But then in the end, the grape that remained, you know, Peronospora dries up the grape when it gets on the grape, no? And so in the end, what happened was that the grape that left were beautiful, really healthy. They had some dry parts, but the good thing that for how we work, that part we cut off.
Mm.
So the berries that get in the cellar were super good. And
it was not a problem of the quality. It was definitely a problem of the quantity.
So in the end, I decided in December, I still did the same work. I do all my selection in the gray, in the field. I do the same treatment in the cellar. Each mass was going in a different direction. Then I put a bit, some of the mass went in wood because I was still thinking of doing Riserva in Gran Selezione. And then in November, I had a friend from another Europe region producing wine. We tasted all the wines together. For me, it was really hard to taste the wine because I was so shocked about the production that I was not really... It was really hard for me to get in the wine, no? I was... I need a bit of time. And so in the end, I tasted with him after like 10 days that I wasn't tasting the wines. And we tasted all the masses. I said, Sophie, we have to do something. We have to taste them all, no? So we test all the masses, and the wine was like, we were super, I was super happy. And because I was super happy, he said, we talk a bit. And in the end, I choose not to make Riserva, not to make Gran Selezione, make only Chianti Classico, small amount that I have. So the bottle that we are tasting is the only bottle of 2023. There are no bottles of 2023. And that's not an easy choice, but I think it's the one that is connected to my way of working. And so I'm really happy on how the wine evolved in the bottle. For sure, it's a Chianti Classico, a bit unique, because you have all the vineyards in it of Tregole. So if you want to understand how Tregole will be all together, you have the bottle.
Perfect. Looking on the bottle, I have to say, I love your labels.
Thanks.
And I think it is really something special also to you. Also, when speaking before that you have been in marketing and sales, I think you have an idea what to do with a label. Can you tell us a little bit about the label? Because the people can hear.
Yeah.
They can have a look on my website to see the bottle.
Yeah.
But, and I will give a link in the show notes. But, perhaps you have a little story to
share. Yeah, of course. So I think the label has been the first lesson that I learned doing this job about doing things slowly and with their rhythm, you know? Because with the label at the beginning, I was, you know, I was young, 25. I wanted to do a lot altogether, super fast and immediate, no? But that's impossible. Or it wasn't. Like, I found it really not my rhythm. And with the label at the beginning, I decided to work with a company and to build the label together. We had really nice ideas about it, but then on the reality where they were not really giving the result that I was expecting. And so for a bit, I decided to keep the old label that my father used to put on the bottles that he used to do for the house. And then one day I thought, why? because I grew up in marketing and communication. No? So I said, why I don't put together just like a group of friends that work in their jobs, they have design, no? And they have taste on doing things. And we just spend time together and see what happens. So for one winter, I put together a group of 4 or 5 people, depending on who was available, or always the same people. And we were meeting together, having a glass of wine, eat food, like spending the weekend, and just think about Tregole, talk about Tregole, and then put on a paper ideas, no? And then one day, I remember we were on the table of the dining room of my cousin, and we did a sketch on a paper. And this sketch was coming out. Every time we were meeting, this sketch was coming out. And we're like, why we don't use the most simple thing, the sketch? Because the house on the label, it's always been, so the farm has always been on the label since the beginning, like that someone produced wine here. I have old bottles, they all have the farm on the label.
Wow.
So I wanted to keep that. You know, I wanted to keep something that was the same with the tradition of the house. And so in the end, we have the actual version of Tregole with the house, with the sketch, and the color that changes for each wine.
It's beautiful. It looks very simple, but it has a huge expression, I think. And I think it's also like you are. It is not it's loud and quiet altogether. Okay. So it's like you are sometimes. So it's because you and if it is in a if you see it in a shelf in a enoteca here, you check it at once because it's so different to all others. So and it's unique. So it's perfect. It's really perfect.
Happy that you like it.
Yeah, I like it. So now I think it's the part where we should give a little overview. What is Tregole in concerning you just mentioned before that it means three valleys, they come together and it's the name means that and that's up, it's the house or the hamlet. It's close to Castellina in Chianti, very high located. How is the altitude here?
So the house, the farm and the house is 520 meters.
Wow.
And then the vineyards, there are vineyards that start on the same level and some vineyards that are higher. The highest goes close to 600 meters. In this range, we have the vineyard.
Wow. But you have very steep vineyards as well.
Yes. Most of them are really, really steep. That's why also problem with Peronospora, because when it's wet, it's really hard to get in with the tractor. Because
because it's too wet and the tractor is...
can slip down. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's dangerous as well.
Yes. Can be.
How old are your vineyards?
So I have 3 different, let's say, general ages of vineyard.
Yeah.
The youngest one, it's a vineyard of 2019.
Yeah.
It's the one I planted.
Yeah.
Then I have 3 vineyards from the beginning of 2000 that my parents planted. And then I have 2 old vineyards, one from 1984 and one from 1972. And they are the one that I use for Riserva and Gran Selezione.
So the one is a little bit younger than me. Oh my God. So we speak about altogether 5 hectares of vineyards. Then you have here a lot of olive trees as well, because nobody has only vineyards. Everybody has olive trees. And altogether Tregole is 30 hectares.
30 hectares,
as you said before. The grape varieties you can find on Tregole is
Sangiovese.
So you're really, I learned there the other day, you have to be a Sangiovista.
Sangiovista.
So perhaps you are also one of the community, yes, of Sangiovese.
Because as my label and as me, that you described quiet and loud on the same time.
Yeah.
I think Sangiovese is the same.
Yeah. I like to compare Sangiovese with women.
Okay.
If you treat her or if you treat it well.
Yeah.
It is nice to you.
Yeah.
If you don't treat it well.
Yeah.
It can be very nasty.
Yeah. That's true. It can be rough, but it can be also really elegant.
Yes. Really. So it's full of character for me, Sangiovese. Yeah.
And also delicate. No.
Yeah.
Full of character and delicate.
Yeah.
So these two faces need to be treated. No.
Sangiovese has to find a good place where it can grow. So a good soil.
Mm-hmm.
What about the soil here in Tregole? Because I know when you're looking on the maps, you can see that you have here Maggino,
mm-hmm.
which is not typical for Castellina. I think mm-hmm. you are the only part of Maggino.
Only one.
In the region of Castellina. What is this about Maggino? What can you tell? Is it only Maggino you find here, or is it much more you can find?
So, you know, Maggino is a sandstone, no?
Yeah.
That comes out in the high areas of Chianti Classico because it's the heart of, like, the really bone of the mountains in Chianti. And so you only find it in high areas where for erosion is coming out. So I have it in my higher points. So the top of the hill has Maggino coming out. Then the more you go down, the more you get the more superficial soil. So you get the calcareous limestone, no, coming. So you have a mix of these two. Then depends, you know, soil, it's not like a box that you can divide and you have one soil or the other. There are areas where I have a bit more Maggino and areas where I have a bit more limestone. Generally, both of them give this character where you have in altitude and with this exposition, it deep color, really fruity nose, but really wines that stay on the tongue, you know. I always say it's really hard that wines in Tregole go out of teeth. They are center mouth focused, no?
They go out of teeth. I like this. You have just Sangiovese here. Your partner here is Sangiovese, let me say.
Yeah.
And you're producing four wines with it. The Chianti Classico.
Yeah.
The Chianti Classico Riserva, we mentioned before. As well, the Chianti Classico Gran Selezione.
True.
And what is the fourth? It's a white wine or something between or something special. Let me say. It's called Il Chicchero.
Yeah.
What does it mean, Il Chicchero?
So, Chicchero, it's a word that people use in Siena to play cards. I used to play a lot of cards with my friends. And Chicchero, it's when you get the, you know, you get the ace coming out of your, I don't know how to say, shirt. You know? It's like a surprise, you know, it's unexpected in something that it's like the wow effect. I don't know how to say.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And so for a wine that it's halfway between a rosé and a white, because some years is a bit more white, some years is a bit more pinky, depends on the skin. I decided to have this surprise name, you know.
Very nice. So but it's only done with Sangiovese, we mentioned. Yep. And how do you do it?
So it's a Sangiovese picked 20 days before, usually, when we pick the Chianti Classico, with the berries that have the harder skin.
Okay.
So that they crush, they don't melt.
Okay.
So no big color release. Full bunches in the tank, pressure of the bunches one on the other, you get the juice coming out. Until it's white, you know, the first juice of wine is always white. It's succo fiore. Comes out when it's starting to get color. I close the tank and that's it. So every year changes the quantity. Some years I do 400 bottles. Some years I do 600 bottles. Dry ice. I keep it quiet and then slowly starts fermentation.
Oh, sounds easy. But it is not easy, I think.
Yeah.
To find the perfect point to close the tank. I think it's not easier.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a wine that we do for fun.
Okay.
Because we like to do something different than what we are used with the reds. I say it's the wine for my mom, you know, because it's really fresh. It's a really drinkable wine, has this fruity taste. And so it's a game. We do it for fun.
Il chicco.
Il chicco. Yeah.
So it's good. Wine always producing wines. When you speak with producers or when I speak with producers, everybody's telling me his ideas or her ideas, about the wine. So which character, with philosophy. What is your idea making wine when you started, and did it change or is it still the same when you started? What can you tell us about your ideas in making wine?
So you can imagine that when you start a job, that there is no one teaching you, no, but you just learn from the work. So the first 4-5 years have been mostly trying for me to understand where I was and what I was doing. Okay. So I worked mostly in the field, not really. I was most of the time in Tregole. I was not really selling. I was really focused on the plants, trying to understand what I had in my hands, mm-hmm. you know? And then, while working, I understood that the character of Sangiovese in Tregole, it's really unique. So I decided to focus on that. So I'm still learning a lot. So I think you never stop learning with our job.
I think.
But you have to think it's my 10th vintage, so I'm still learning a lot.
Yeah.
But I really believe that, so my aim is to bring in the glass what is Tregole, what is Sangiovese in Tregole, the more connected to the place possible. So all my investments in the cellar, in the field, go on that direction.
So I have to say now, because I feel it now between my teeth, it's very mineralic. Yeah. So it's not salty, but you have really mineralic flavors in every part. Of course, before it was fruity, but now it's still holding. It's really very long on the palate. So compliment. I just have to notice
it. Yeah. It's savory, you know, mm-hmm. That's because of the combination of the Sangiovese, the soil and the exposition.
So talking about harvesting, can you take us with you when harvesting?
Of course.
What does it mean?
So we harvest mid-October. Let's say.
So this is very late.
The chicchero, it's mid-September, like end of September. Then Sangiovese comes mid-October. And that's late, yeah.
That's late, meaning concerning, or let me see, say, in other regions of Chianti Classico, they start much, much earlier.
Also 1 month.
Yeah, earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. In Tregole, we need a while to get the tannins ripe and mature. And so, you know, our dream of me and the people that I work with, it's to have the bunches on the plant and no leaf on the plant.
Yeah.
That's our dream, you know. So we really believe that the wine is done on the plant. So we try to keep the grapes on the plant as much as the weather let us do it. Because October, days are shorter, humidity is coming, we don't have so much. We don't want that the grapes get too much water, too much humidity. So I always say dry vintage with the dry September and dry October are my vintages, are Tregole vintages. So we do hand picking. We, in every vineyard, we do 2 mass. We pick the grapes. We do minimum two selection. Grapes that are alone, grapes that are lower, more close one to the other, maturate separately. So I try to pick the grapes on the right time of maturation. So I do 2 mass on each grape, wow. on each vineyard. And each one goes on his timing and direction. Then the young vineyards go in the Chianti Classico, and then the 2 old ones go for the Riserva and the Gran Selezione. But that's more or less the work for all of them. Cement, mostly cement for fermentation. Chianti Classico, after fermentation, goes back in cement. riserve and Gran Selezione do a bit of rest and then they go in wood.
And the whole, you said before, the whole bunches for the Kikaro.
Yeah.
Also for the red wines, or do you de-steam it?
So with the red wines, I all de-steam, but yeah. I don't crush the berries.
Okay.
I try not to crush the berries.
Yeah.
So my technology is not already on the point that I have full 100% berries, but I'm working on that direction.
I can imagine.
But I just de-stem, keep the berries the more close possible.
Yeah.
And then goes in the tank. Cold fermentation. I fermentate 23, 24 grads. I don't want that it goes hot. And depending on the berry on the grapes, shorter will be 20 days on the skin, the longest 35, 38, depends.
And why is your aim to keep whole berries? Why? What is the secret?
So at the beginning, as I said, in Tregole, the tannins take a while to become mature. And so on the vintages that the tannin was not totally mature, I decided to keep the tannins in the berry. For me, it was logic. No, I said, if I don't want the tannins to go too much around and extract too much, the more hard tannins, what I should do, I should keep the tannin in the berry. So I have to have the berry closed. And so for that logic, I decided to not crush. And I tried with one vineyard, with one tank of one vineyard. And then I understood, for sure my colleagues that do it from a long time, they knew it before. Like I discovered that on this way, the wine and the fermentation goes more on the crunchy part of the fruit than on the pulp of the fruit. And you feel it in the wine. And so I really like that. And so I decided to work on that direction. Now I do all the wine, all the vineyards like this.
This sounds good. Because we can see a perfect result. So I would say altogether, important is the soil you have, important are the exposition of the vineyards, and important is as well the philosophy of the producer of Sophie for the wines of Tregole. Altogether brings that perfect quality.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I really believe wine is done by four things, no?
Four. Okay. I missed one.
The soil, the altitude.
Okay.
The exposition.
Yeah.
And the people. I think those four things do the wine. If you change one of the four, it's a different wine. And Sangiovese really changes with tiny differences. So every tiny difference would make a difference.
So it's very, because it's so delicate, because yeah. It is so sensible, like yeah. Also. Yeah, una donna.
Yeah?
Sì. A woman.
Sì, 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 sì.
Is really altitude so important?
Because you can imagine, no, that think about when you walk on a mountain, you have certain flowers on a certain altitude, you have certain flowers on a different altitude. Like the system that the plant has around is completely different. And that doesn't need to mean that high is good and low is not. It's just different results. So in a more high area, you have a result. In a lower area, you have a different result. They are both really good. They give different results. So that's why I think that the altitude that makes one of the four base for the wine.
Getting back much, also, let me say, it's almost at the very beginning of our podcast. You said Tregole has always been a place of accommodation. And I think it is, still is, because you also run an agriturismo here together with your mother. So Tregole is not only a word, a synonym for wine, it's also a synonym for holiday. What is Tregole meaning holiday? Can you explain? Can you take us with you?
So I have to say that most of the work for hospitality is done by my mom. She's the boss for hospitality. I'm only helping her. So, and we have a place for 16 people that can sleep in Tregole in different apartments. Tregole can be rented or in three separate apartments or in a full like unique apartment in one rental. It has a pool. People that stay in the house can have...
Sorry to interrupt you. It has a fantastic pool with a fantastic, not a really fantastic view. Sorry to interrupt.
It's true. It's beautiful. And the people that stay in the house, of course, can live the life of the house. And that goes with the wine. That goes also with the kitchen of my mom. So she does cooking classes.
Oh.
She does meals for the guests. And then we do pizza night. Depending on what the people want, we try to make their holiday good, you know. So we
organize great.
Whatever they want, you know.
Yeah, with that.
We try.
No, because I have to say, it's really also a magic place here. You are surrounded by so you have a fantastic view. And in the garden, there's so many trees. I can really imagine during the hot summer, you can find there cooler places. Not only cool places, cooler places as well. And I think it's a fantastic possibility to stay with a book or and a glass of wine and doing nothing during a holiday. So it's out. And then your mother is cooking. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's for sure a place of peace.
Yes.
You know, a friend a few days ago told me, I said, I'm a bit stressed in this time of the year. She says, Sophie, don't say it loud, because it's not believable that you're stressed in the place where you live, you know, because Trigoli is such a quiet place. And it's a place of peace. And I have to say, of course, each one has the stress of a job, but it's a place really of peace.
Yes, it's a place of peace. I totally confirm. But you are not... You are connected with the rest of the world.
That's the stress. You're right.
You're not independent as the former owners have been. Yeah. So perhaps that's the problem.
Yeah. I have to work with that.
Yeah. and
but I have wine.
And,
so.
Yes. it helps to slow down a little bit.
That's true.
Grazie, Sophie.
Thank you, Nina.
It was a very nice pleasure, like always, talking with you.
Grazie.
And I always learn something, because it's always getting something new for me as also doing a podcast. So I have to do more podcasts to get more and more information. Thank you for your time, because I know, as you mentioned, you're very busy. Thank you that you took your time for us, for my listeners, and for the people I want to feel in love with Chianti Classico, and especially with Trigoli. Grazie, cara.
Grazie a te. Grazie mille.
Trigoli ist wirklich ein wunderschöner und friedlicher Fleck auf unserem Planeten. Ich hoffe, Sophie und ich konnten dir ein wenig den Flair von Trigoli vermitteln. Falls du jetzt noch mehr über Trigoli erfahren möchtest, dann findest du viele Informationen auf meiner Website. Und wenn du jetzt Lust bekommen haben solltest, die Weine selbst zu probieren, dann kannst du diese in meinem Onlineshop finden. Beide Links findest du wie immer in den Episodennotizen. Ich sage nochmals herzlichen Dank an Sophie Conte für ihre Zeit und für ihren Spirit, uns in ihre Welt mitzunehmen. Und all das, damit du hoffentlich eine gute Zeit hattest, diese Episode zu hören. Danke auch für deine Aufmerksamkeit. Ich weiß mir das sehr zu schätzen. Wenn dir mein Podcast gefällt, dann freue ich mich, wenn du den Abo-Button klickst. Danke schon mal dafür vorab. Wie immer hoffe ich, dass ich dich auch heute mitnehmen konnte in meine Chianti Classico-Welt. Denn das ist meine Passion, mein Auftrag. So fühle ich es zumindest. Ich sag tschüss, ciao, bis zum nächsten Mal. Ich freue mich auf dich. Ciao, ciao.